I know that the numbers of MPs who have joined and peers who have joined the APPG and Freedom of Religious Belief have done so off the back of their constituents writing to them, emailing them, phoning them, meeting them in their office.
Across the world today, millions of Christians are persecuted. They face oppression, imprisonment, displacement, and even death simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. These courageous believers are our brothers and sisters. We are in this together with them, and we need to hear their voice. Join host Kenneth as we discover their stories today on Release International's Voice podcast.
Whilst no system of government is perfect, we can be thankful for the political and religious freedoms we currently enjoy here in the UK. And we can be thankful for elected representatives who are willing to use their voice to speak up for justice and to ensure that issues like religious persecution are heard about and debated. I'm your guest host, Kenneth, and on today's podcast, I'm speaking to Jim Shannon, MP for Strangford and chairman of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for Freedom of Religion or Belief at Westminster. Listen in as we talk about what motivated Jim to get involved in politics, his concern for religious freedom in our world today, and the progress that has been made in implementing the recommendations of the Bishop of Truro's 2019 report on the global persecution of Christians. Welcome, Jim Shannon, MP, to the Release International Voice podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I look forward to our discussion, and I hope the listeners will enjoy it as well.
Thank you, Jim. You are the Westminster Democratic Unionist Party MP for the constituency of Strangford in Northern Ireland, a seat that you've held, I know, for the past 11 years. Amongst several other parliamentary posts and committee memberships, you're the chairman of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for International Freedom of Religion or Belief. I know you're a Christian yourself, and throughout your career as an MP, you've spoken out on behalf of Christians and those from other faith groups who face persecution in various parts of the world. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to be interviewed on this here. Something that's very close to my heart.
Well, we're going to go on today to talk in a little bit of detail about the Bishop of Truro's 2019 report on the persecution of Christians, and in particular how the recommendations outlined in that report have progressed, if at all, in the past 2 years. But perhaps just to get us going and to allow us to get to know you a little bit better, can you tell me briefly what was it that inspired you to get involved in this particular area of politics? And how did you come to be the chairman of the All-Party Group on Freedom of Religion or Belief?
All my life, Kenneth, I believe that I'm here to serve my Lord and Saviour, and that's my full reason. I also sought his direction whenever the opportunity to become the Member of Parliament for Strangford came forward. I believe in prayer, I believe in, and I seek his guidance in everything I do. In 2012, we had an opportunity as a party to bring up the issue of Christian persecution in the chamber. It was our choice of debate as a party, and I led in that. Interesting enough, I believe that started the interest in Parliament, that many, many people had an interest, but maybe just hadn't had the opportunity to bring it forward. So we did that. That initiated the interest with government and elsewhere. I had a very close working relationship with Baroness Burridge, Elizabeth Burridge. She and I, probably more she than I, to be honest with you, had suggested to me that we might be good to start an APPG in Freedom of Religious Belief. I certainly felt that that's where the Lord wanted me to be, because I'm a servant here in this house and the servant of the people that I represent as well. So with that, we did start that. And we now have, believe it or not, almost 135 members, that's MPs and peers from the two houses, who have a deep interest and personal interest and collective interest in the freedom of religious belief. So real opportunity to do so much to serve him. I believe he's brought me for a purpose. as he brings us all for a purpose. If we believe that and we seek his guidance, he will show us what he wants us to do. And I believe that he has shown me what he wants me to do here. And I've tried to do that over the in every opportunity I can, in questions or in debates in this house.
Well, that's wonderful to hear an MP putting real faith into practice. That's a great encouragement. As I said before, 2 years ago this month, July 2019, the Bishop of Truro published his independent review for the Foreign Secretary, looking at the level of Foreign and Commonwealth Office support for persecuted Christians. The purpose of that review, and this comes from the report itself, was to, quote, map the extent and nature of the global persecution of Christians, to assess the quality of response from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, and to make recommendations for changes in policy and practice, unquote. So can I ask, firstly, were you surprised at all that the UK government commissioned this report in the first place, and how significant a move do you think it was?
I think it was probably more surprising, really, Kenneth, that nothing like this had ever been done before by the UK government, or indeed by any government for that matter, as I'm aware of. So I think we got the opportunity to raise the awareness. I have to say, I should have said probably earlier on, for me, the APPG, and I realised early on that my Lord and Saviour loves everyone. So when I speak up for Christians, I also speak up for those who aren't Christians, and I speak up for those who have no faith at all. So for, this is a wonderful opportunity to raise awareness right across the whole of the world, but also in particular with the United Kingdom. So the UK Commission government commissioned the report. I think it was significant, as it gave us an opportunity to raise freedom of religious belief issues and raise awareness of those across the world. And the forum for that was right here. So we use that on a regular basis, and we've done that very well. I suppose for years, and we understand this, for years the persecution of Christians and indeed the four violations have been issues which were largely neglected, and I say that very respectfully, largely neglected by both governments and also by human rights organisations. So we had an opportunity to raise that awareness. So despite the enormous scale of persecution that people from marginalised religious and belief communities face, according to the Pew Center, which I think give us some of the information, 4 out of every 5 people live in countries where there are significant restrictions on their rights to believe whatever they wish. So the fact is that discrimination based on religious or belief grounds is one of the main ways people are persecuted around the world. Human rights issues probably run in tandem with religious persecutions and ethnic minorities. So whether it be atheists in Saudi Arabia, Muslims in Xinjiang province, or Christians in the Middle East, this is a globe-spanning problem that affects almost every community somewhere. So I think then having the UK government, our government, finally stand up publicly, which they have done, and they've been strongly doing so, and whenever we ask them questions in the chamber, we find that the responses from the ministers are very much clued into what we're saying, because we recognise the severity of the problem, and we know that we need to do better with a transformative, I believe, step forward, and one that I'm hoping that many other governments will take. Our UK government has done it. I believe other governments across the world are starting to do likewise. But the thing is, Kenneth, the problems are getting greater as well, and certainly we're more aware of them.
Now, I know last year, I think it was in October time, you contributed to the debate in Parliament about the implementation of the various recommendations that the report had made. There were, I think, 22 recommendations. Now, we're obviously not going to go through them all in great detail and so on. But can you perhaps summarise for us what you think were the most significant of those recommendations? And then to what extent, if at all, have they been implemented over the past 2 years?
I suppose I would probably say to you, first of all, Kenneth, that the, the 22 recommendations are equally important, but you're right. There are ones that perhaps set a trend and a methodology to move forward. I believe they set out what I would refer to as a comprehensive framework for how the UK government can do more to protect persecuted Christians and other religions and belief communities across the whole of the world, where the UK influence is great, and it is great. UK is held in high esteem across the whole of the world. So it's vital that they implement it in a holistic way, because that's really what we want to try and do. But there are a few key ones that jump out. And the one that really we were very keen to always ensure takes place, because I think it probably means if this happens, then everything else happens around it. And that is the recommendations requiring that government staff working in countries where there is significant religions or belief-based persecution receive training on how to identify, to assess, to analyse, and to address these issues, and to understand how they can interact with other government objectives, which I think we've got to try and do as well, in relation to conflict reduction or promoting gender equality. Key issues. And if we can work alongside with government in doing those things, then I believe then we can move forward. So for any government or any organisation or any individual to be able to effectively tackle a problem, they first have to understand it so they can have the accurate data and the understanding of how to interpret this data is vital. So to have the officials understand what it is they're looking for, and then it means that they have a key interest in how it then pans out. So it's vital that government acts when it knows that human rights are being violated. And one of the recommendations is about placing sanctions on human rights violators. Another focuses on providing funding for projects which promote religion and belief, respect and tolerance. So the good news is that the government has started to sanction people in their treatment of religious minorities, like the military leaders in Burma, like some of the leaders in China. But on the other hand, government's planned aid cuts will make things, I believe, much harder for these minorities, who are usually at the bottom of the economic ladder and sometimes at the back of the queue when it comes to getting the assistance that they have. And I think immediately of China, their violation of the human rights, the religious beliefs, the ethnic minorities of Christians, of Falun Gong, of the Uyghur Muslims, of the Buddhists in Tibet. I mean, China stands at the top of the league table alongside North Korea and Iran with their human rights abuses. So overall, I believe within government, we've seen a lot of progress in implementing these recommendations. And the staff at the FCDO, I believe, are doing a fine job. There will, however, be an independent review of the implementation of the recommendations in July 2022. So I understand we're going to have a conference sometime next year, around about the same time. So I think these will come in tandem and we'll be able to maybe check the weights and measures, how government has progressed, and perhaps maybe to gently remind them where they have to catch up. So I believe, good things are happening. It takes the full cooperation of the SCDO. It takes the staff to understand what the issues are. And then we can collectively here at Westminster work with the SCDO and the countries across the world where they have the influence to try and make the changes.
On today's podcast, I'm speaking to Strangford MP Jim Shannon, who chairs the all-party parliamentary group on religious freedom or belief. We've talked in detail about the 2019 Foreign and Commonwealth Office report on the global persecution of Christians. Keep listening as Jim goes on to give us a helpful overview of particular countries of concern and suggests ways in which we as constituents can actively speak up for persecuted Christians in the political sphere. You mentioned their sanctions, and I guess for many people reading these 22 recommendations, recommendation 8, I think it is, to be prepared to impose sanctions against perpetrators of freedom of religion abuses, is probably the one that would jump out at most of us. Just briefly, do you think that can be an effective tool in the bigger picture?
I think it has to be an effective tool, Kenneth, but the power is there to do it. We often encourage the ministers to use this particular methodology to sanction those who have been involved in human rights abuses and religious persecution of Christians and other ethnic minorities. We think it's vitally important that those who use governments, who use and officials that use this particular type of sanction that they use against people of Christian and other religious minorities, then I believe we must do that. Government has already moved towards that. We have added, I've asked them on a number of occasions for other names. We spoke last week in Hong Kong, and again, China's influence there is real and damaging. I think it's important that the government, while they sanction some individuals as have done, that there's others to be added to that list. It's not a case of punishing people directly as the way to do it, but I think those who are actively involved in that must, in my opinion, be very, very clear that if they keep on doing this, then they will receive sanctions, and our government is doing that.
That's good to hear. Well, we know that in many countries, religious freedom has become increasingly restricted in the past few years. You've already mentioned China, but are there any countries or regions in the world that give you particular concern at this time?
There's many countries across the world that probably lie on my heart, and one of the countries that always has been close to me, my heart, I got to Pakistan, and I think it was in 2018, as my first visit to Pakistan, although I prayed for Pakistan for all my life, for 30 years anyway, at least, if not longer. I got that opportunity to go to Pakistan, always had a burden, never probably knew very much about it. That was a great opportunity, that particular time to visit. We got a chance to meet many, many people there. They understand the things in Pakistan. We also have just finished through the APPG, or recently completed a report last year entitled Nigeria Unfolding Genocide. Incredibly worrying. I hope to have an EDM, which will probably go down tomorrow, highlighting the issue of Nigeria. There's been more Christians killed in Nigeria in the last year, Kenneth, than there's been over many, many years. So it's very, very distressing. I believe we have a duty to speak up about the devastating violence that's taking place there. We're hoping maybe as an APPG perhaps do a visit to Nigeria whenever we come out of COVID-19, and we look forward to that, providing that we're able to do that visit and it's safe to do so, and only then will we do that. But we hope to do that. Also, Nepal is one that's we're going to do an inquiry in Nepal, and again, we're aware of the brutality, the indiscriminate persecution of Christians and religious minorities in a country that espouses freedom, but in reality, it is anything but. They're not the only company. Iran, where the Baha'is are particularly on the front line, and Christians and other ethnic minorities, the Christian Orthodox churches across the Middle East. In Turkey, Christians have not had their visas renewed because it was seemingly because of their religious beliefs. Why should that be? People who have lived in the country all their lives. If a country like Turkey and others espouse freedom and the right to have a different religious view and of an ethnic minority, and then do the opposite, they have to be highlighted, and that must be done. And China, North Korea, well, how much is my heart burdened for Christians in North Korea, Christians and other ethnic groups across China, where the freedom we have here, where we're sitting today in London, is something that we sometimes take for granted. And yesterday I spoke and asked a question on the situation in the Tigray region in Ethiopia, where there's reports of massacres, food insecurity, and sexual abuse being used as a weapon of war. 800 people killed in a church in Ethiopia not so long ago, sought protection in the church and were murdered, men, women, and children. Then we have also that things are getting worse for Christians and religious and belief communities generally. India, for example, India, one of the prominent countries in the world, is one where COVID-19 scapegoating has led to severe persecution. Christians aren't to blame. Ethnic minorities aren't to blame for COVID-19. But some people think that it's a good thing to blame them. And when it comes to the very sheer scale and brutality, if you look at one in particular, Xinjiang province in China, where millions of Uyghur Muslims are being persecuted brutally in modern-day concentration camps, all just because of their faith. And that's what we're trying to do, is to highlight those issues.
Thank you very much for going through those different parts of the world for us as you see it. I guess many of our listeners will have heard of the Bishop of Truro's report and perhaps will be encouraged to see that this subject is being discussed, as you've been saying today. It's being discussed and it's being given attention in Parliament. So tell us, from your perspective as an MP, how can Christians in the UK best make an impact in the political arena on this subject? And I put it like that because, of course, we realise that a political response is not the only response. There is the pastoral response to persecution. Release International's ministry is very much focused on loving and serving, equipping, resourcing persecuted Christians, giving them the tools they need to live faithfully for Jesus Christ. But particularly, obviously, given our discussion today, how can Christians in the UK best make an impact in the political arena on this subject of persecution?
Yeah, oh, thank you. I'm a great believer in prayer, always have been. I believe genuinely. I think I was reading in the Bible last week in Matthew, where the Lord said, with faith you can move mountains. So I would say, what can you do? Pray for your politicians. Pray that they would have the wisdom and the knowledge that is necessary to make the right decisions. I would also suggest to listeners that it's really important that they write to their MPs. I think perhaps over this last period of time, I've noticed that many, many people, by the way, are already doing this. But I would encourage everyone who hasn't done it yet, perhaps to do it now or do it sometime in the future when something comes to their attention. Because I believe that every MP will respond to those issues. I know that the numbers of MPs who have joined and peers who have joined the APPG and Freedom of Religious Belief have done so off the back of their constituents writing to them, emailing them, phoning them, meeting them in their office and their advice centres, whatever the case may be. So I think the more members we have on board as MPs and peers, then the more we can hold the government to account in its work to protect Christians and all religious and belief communities. So I think that's where we probably want to be. You can collectively, individually, speak to your MP, make them aware of the issues that concern you, and your MP, who are good people, will respond to you and make sure that your voice becomes their voice in Parliament. So the role that you have to play, a really important role, the role for each individual to speak to their MP, pray for your MPs, pray that they will be a voice for you in Westminster.
Well, that's a great challenge for all of us, I guess, listening. So, Jim Shannon, MP, thank you so much for that. Thank you for being our guest today on the Voice podcast. I know you have an incredibly busy schedule, so we really appreciate you giving us your time today. Before you go, we always like to ask our guests how our listeners can pray for them. So how can we pray for you?
My last prayer request every morning after I make all my requests for the many other people across the world, for my family, for friends, I only ask for two things. I ask for wisdom and knowledge, so that I will be able to, the wisdom to know what to say and the knowledge of when to say it. And I think that's probably what I would ask my those listeners to the program today to do. It's just that I'm the Lord's servant. I'm here for a purpose, to serve him. I want to do it well. I want to do it the way that he wants me to. So pray probably for that to happen. and that would be his will being carried out in this world. I think that would be what I would ask for.
That's wonderful. Jim Shannon MP, thank you very much. As Christians, our freedom in Christ never depends on political religious freedom. However, we do all live our lives within certain political contexts. And as Christians, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that present themselves to bring kingdom values to bear in our world. So do you pray for your MP? Have you ever asked your MP to represent your concern for our persecuted Christian family? It's encouraging to hear that they do listen to those concerns and that the subject of the persecution of Christians is being taken seriously in Parliament. Engaging in this area is one more way that we can raise the voice of our persecuted brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for listening to The Voice podcast. Please do subscribe through your favourite podcast app so you can stay connected to The Voice of Persecuted Christians. We'd love to hear your feedback on the podcast, so please also share your comments with us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And if you don't already receive our free quarterly magazine or prayer alert emails, then please do subscribe on our website at releaseinternational.org/podcast.
Remember those who are in prison as if you were in there together with them, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Do not abandon them.